Hi, I'm Robert Guignard, and this is Intentionally Overheard. Today I'm going to have a conversation with Reggie Gant. Reggie is a 5-time author and the creator of the SERV Principles, which is a personal development vehicle used to develop leaders. His passion and purpose is to equip men, fathers, and husbands of faith to step into their leadership roles as protectors and providers, all while harnessing their inner greatness. He's also created a global online community for men to have a safe space to learn, grow, and connect. Reggie's proudest accomplishments are being happily married to his wife and raising their 5 amazing children. Reggie's life motto is simple: serve to be a blessing to others. And now my conversation with Reggie Gant. Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Robert. I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, it's always good to hear and see you, Reggie. I appreciate you taking the time. So, you know, we always start off with the question, Reggie, how are you treating the world and how's the world treating you back?
That's such a fantastic question. And I'll answer it this way. I'll answer it with one of my affirmations. And that is, I love my life and my life loves me.
Amen.
If I had to answer that question, Robert, I would say that the world is treating me amazing so far. God has been extremely gracious to me and my family. And I just plan on continuing to do my part in society and making sure that, you know, his voice is being magnified and that he's getting the glory from everything that he's allowing me to be a part of.
Oh, that's wonderful, Reggie. And I'm just going to back up for just a moment to let our listeners know how you and I met several years ago. And Reggie, I'm going to stay away from dating ourselves, but it was quite a few years ago.
I was
a speaker at the Social Security Administration. And I think that I was just fresh off of my prostate cancer journey. And I think I was sharing some information about prostate cancer awareness. Yeah. And I met this gentleman who showed me back to the room where I would be speaking. And this gentleman, you may know him, Reggie, but he was very, or maybe you may not know him, but he was very quiet. But he had this look of intensity in his eyes and he was just studying. And, you know, and so I met this gentleman. He introduced me and just made it a pleasurable experience to be there that day. And by the way, that gentleman I'm talking about is you. So what's been interesting, Reggie, is to see this metamorphosis, if you will, how when I met you back then, you were very quiet and reserved. And you always had this look like you were just taking in the information. And now that I see you all these years later, you've written all of these books. And you inspire people and you're a speaker and a trainer and great father and husband. How did you find this voice? This isn't the Reggie that I met years ago. And thank God that you're out doing your thing. But Reggie, tell me a little bit about that, about this transformation.
Yeah. It's been an amazing ride. And, you know, I'll say that and it's something that I tell young people all the time, something that we're impressing upon, you know, our oldest child, our daughter Diamond, who will be 22 this year. Associations are everything. You know, our mentor tells us all the time, if you hang around 9 broke people, chances are you'll become number 10. But if you hang around 9 people, they're successful, they're hungry, they're getting it, chances are you'll become number 10. Right. Yeah. So associations are everything. And it's so interesting that that's where you and I met, Social Security Administration, because that's actually where my life changed in this particular arena of my life. I had a mentor. Her name was Dee Jackson. You may remember Dee Jackson.
Yes, I do remember.
Amazing. She was, in my mind, she was an icon in federal government as far as training and development and facilitation. And when I came to that part of the agency, she took me under her wing and she told me that, you know, before she retired, that she would groom me to do what she was doing. And I looked at her like she had 10 eyeballs because I said, no way in the world are you going to convince me to get in front of that room and talk to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people. It's not happening. And she was like, Reggie, I see something in you. And I just remember little by little, she would ease me in. She would have me introduce an icebreaker. And Robert, back at that time, I used to stand behind the podium and I would grip the podium so hard on both sides, you thought that I'd be ripping the wood off. Like, I was that nervous to speak in front of people. And I just look up, you know, all of these years later, and what D. Jackson saw in me and said became true. Because when I look back over the course of, you know, my federal government career, I had the honor and privilege of training well over 45,000 people across government agencies. So not just one agency, across agencies and its association, you know, and she spoke something into my life. You know, I didn't believe it. I didn't see it. But what she did, and probably what she knew that she was doing, was planted a seed. And that seed took to fertile ground. And, you know, here it is all of these years later. You know, I just look for any possible way to serve.
Well, you know, and Reggie, that's what's so amazing about your story is I remember, you know, how quiet you were. And again, when I see you now, I see your social media post and you're speaking such life into people. And I'm saying, that's the same Reggie. So, but you know what's interesting, Reggie, and you can chime in on this, that I've always been against the word when I hear somebody say somebody is self-made. I'm in total disagreement with that, because as you just illustrated, it takes somebody to give us a break. It takes somebody to, whether it's you invent a product, it takes somebody to buy it, or you create a service, you need customers. And so you are that, again, that perfect example that, you know, people need people. We need somebody to speak into our lives, but they also help us become the person that we are. So I say I'm against the word self-made.
Yeah,
we can be self-inspired, self-motivated, yeah. But self-made is a different story.
Absolutely. And we can't be self-made, because God is the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
And take it back to scripture, you know, and you know, you and I know, you know, we're definitely deep into our faith. Bible says that God has given us the ability to create, yes. But it didn't say we have given ourselves the ability to create.
Right.
God has given us the ability to create. And, you know, it says wealth, and you can, you know, substitute wealth with anything. But God has given that to us. No one is self-made.
Reggie, do you think from your experience, and again, you've been out there training people all across the country, and, you know, folks who listen to you via social media, you're touching people around the world. Do you think people are tapping into that power within?
No, not at all. And I think that we live in a world right now where the season is ripe for folks who have a voice to empower others to stand up. You know, it's so interesting. Yesterday, you know, as I was spending quiet time, God has asked me, you know, specifically, what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just a reminder, you know, that, yeah, I've done some great works, right? But there's more to do. What have you done for me lately? God is calling in this season folks who hear his voice, folks who have influence, folks who have subject matter expertise in empowering others to rise up. You know, and I think that this world is lacking in that particular area. I think people want inspiration. They want encouragement. But sometimes we just get caught up. And you and I may be witnesses to this, Robert, and the everyday hustle and bustle of just trying to make it.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yes. You know, now, Reggie, let me ask you this. Given all that you've done that you're continuing to do, are you realizing your dreams?
I am, Robert, and I love it. I remember life as a child, right? And that's crazy, because now I have a 10-year-old that'll be 11 in a couple of days, actually on Friday of this week. I remember when I was around his age that I envisioned life at 40. Don't ask me why 40, Robert. I have no idea. But I envisioned life, and I literally began to think that's when God began to speak to me. And I would see a future in which I would have 2 six-figure incomes. I didn't know what that was, right? At 10, 11, 12 years old. I saw that I was married. My wife was beautiful. You know, she was chocolate, you know, And Robert, let me tell you how life works. I'm 40 right now as we do this podcast.
Wow.
And that was, 30 plus years ago. Yeah. And what happened? Everything that I envisioned came to fruition. I literally believe that, thoughts become things, and that yes. we can envision a life that we want and we can go after it. But I think a lot of part of where we struggle with as society is unbelief.
Right? Yeah. Isn't belief powerful?
And belief is amazingly powerful. Oh. That's why I love what you're doing, because we need the belief system to kick in for us to realize our potential.
Yeah. Rachel, well, given you talked about how you started at such a young age that you had this vision, who inspired you?
I have to give the credit to that to my mom. My mom introduced me to the Lord at a very early age. And I'll say this. So she raised me in church. I used to go to church all the time with my mom, choir rehearsal, the whole nine yards, Bible studies. And then it got to a point in my teenage years where she allowed church to become optional. And, when we give teenagers options, they don't always make the best choices, right?
Right, right.
So lo and behold, what happened to me in my teenage years? At the ripe young age of 19, I became a dad. That wasn't a part of the plans.
Yeah.
But what happened? My mom, because she instilled in me that, you have a foundation that's anchored in the Lord. The very first thing that I did was I ran back to the house of the Lord. I rededicated my life to God because I knew at this point in life, I can't do this thing alone. I can't be a parent alone. I can barely control myself. Apparently, how am I supposed to raise this life? Right.
Yeah.
So I would give the inspiration to my mom, who made sure that I had a strong spiritual foundation at an early age.
Well, hats off to mom, because, again, I'm a dad of two daughters. And, of course, there's a saying that you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. And that stuck with me because, when we have our children, they don't know what we carry day in and day out. We worry about them from morning to night. And, what I see that your mom did, and I'm doing this, and I know you are as well. Really, our responsibility as parents is to plant that seed. Nurture it, provide the water and the sunshine and everything that we need to do to make it grow. Get the weeds out of the way. But, at some point, and it looks like this is evidently what happened with you, is that you never forgot the gardener. No. You never forgot. You went back to that foundation. And as a victory for your mom, that's all you really can ask for. As a parent, it's just like, okay, I planted the seed, and I know they may vary. They may grow up, up the vine or sideways, but you know what? If I plant the seed, they'll come back. And you are the perfect example of that.
Yeah. It's a true testament. And it's actually why, I wrote my latest book. It's entitled Your Greatness Unleashed, Releasing Your Inner Seeds. Robert, I firmly believe that each and every one of us has seeds of greatness inside of us. I firmly believe that. No one will ever be able to convince me otherwise. But the difference that, that happens in some of our lives versus others is what we do with that seed. Sometimes that seed is in fertile ground. Sometimes it falls on concrete, right? Sometimes, some of us get sunshine. Sometimes some of us get rain and dark and gloom. So, but it doesn't mean that that seed of greatness is not there. It's just that some of us have an environment in which it can grow.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I had an environment, in which I was able to grow and flourish. And now it's my job, it's your job to make sure that we create a world where people can believe in themselves.
Yeah. Well, as you were talking about, the different fertile ground and unfertile ground. And when you think about it, as they're living examples, if we just look down and see how flowers can make their way through concrete, they find a way.
Especially weeds.
Yes. Yes.
A weed can do it.
So if you can imagine a weed can grow wherever, imagine what a beautiful flower can do. So hats off again to your mom. And, you were also a vessel that you allowed yourself to go back. You know, you could have said, well, no, I'm good. Now I'm a grown man. I can handle this. But you had the sense to go back. So hats off to you as well. Now, given that, though, Reggie, let's talk about some of the obstacles that you faced. Okay. So, again, you're a five-time author. You know, you worked the government for many years. But tell me a little bit about some of those dark days, Reggie, because it's good to get on here and everybody's like, yes, I can do this. Reggie's awesome. But Reggie's story also includes some of the dark days as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So life has been interesting. You know, as I said earlier, young dad, right? I was a freshman in college, freshman at Morgan State University. So, you know, that came with its challenges because by that point, my parents were divorced and I was primarily raised in a single parent household. Right. So I did the every other weekend thing with my dad. And, you know, and I grew up with those hurts and those pains and yearning, you know, for his presence more than, you know, what I was afforded the opportunity to have. And I remember when I became a dad, I vowed, you know, that I would not want to transfer that on. But what happens when you bring two young people together and you turn them into parents? Young people do what young people do, right? And that's foolishness. So I ended up, you know, unbeknownst to me, unfortunately, carrying on the same trend, you know, because I didn't have full custody of my daughter. There were times in there when her and I didn't see eye to eye, and we went through the drama and we went through the court systems, and, you know, I was withheld from seeing her, and, you know, I had to battle all of that. And then along the way, I also began to battle with some secret bouts of depression. You know, no one knew, because I believed so much in myself, you know, and my capabilities, but I wasn't performing to my fullest potential. Doubt began to kick in, you know, yeah. And I began to feel bad, you know, saying that, you know, at this age, I should be here, you know. And then when we look around and we start to compare ourselves to others, the spirit of comparison, by the way, is definitely of the devil. It's not godly. When we begin to compare ourselves to others, you know, that can also make us feel a certain kind of way as well. So I battled with self-depression, right? Self-doubt. I've had some low feelings of self-worth. In my life, I was engaged at one point in time. I was, you know, excited to be married. I tapped into some of my TSP funds, right, to lay out some non-refundable deposits. Non-refundable deposits, by the way, Robert. Let me say non-refundable deposits, right? And what happened? Out of the blue, that engagement, that whole entire relationship was called off.
Yeah.
After premarital counseling, you know, she decided that she wasn't ready, and the non-refundable deposits were gone. So what did that leave me with, right? I mean, I was embarrassed, right?
Yeah.
I was hurt. I was ashamed. I was angry. I was frustrated. And I remember in that season of my life, I turned my back on God.
Yeah.
You know, and I began to do what a lot of men who are hurt do. Hurt people, hurt people. I remember that I began to hurt other women, not physically like boxing them up, but, you know, I began to intentionally know that I didn't have plans for women, but still entertain them. You know, if you can read between the lines.
I sure can. Yes.
And that wasn't what God was calling me to do. So I had to overcome that. I remember as an employee of the government, you know, as I was trying to climb the ranks, I felt like I was being held back, you know, being a Black man, being ambitious, right? It was often portrayed as arrogance and, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, confidence can't be confidence when you're a Black man. For some reason, it has to be arrogance. Mm-hmm. And I remember just feeling trapped.
Yeah.
And, you know, now at 40, Robert, I can't tell you the life that I live now and how happy I am, you know, that I was able to go through those situations, but more so overcome those situations, because I found my voice along the way. I found out who I was. I tapped into my source, and my source has given me power.
Reggie, now when you're talking about tapping in or finding your voice in those bouts of depression, what got you through that? And I know, you know, as believers, I know God was there for you, but what did you do?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you did to pull yourself through? Because I always say, you know, miracles work best through vessels that are welcoming. And so how did you make it through those times? What did you do? Meditation, prayer, walks, physical exercise? Tell the world your secret.
Such a fantastic question, Robert. Yeah, so I went back to the source, right? The creator. So in order for us to understand a thing, we have to know or be able to check who created the thing. So for example, if my TV that I purchased from Samsung breaks down, right? My Samsung TV comes with a Samsung guide. Yeah. I can go to the guide because Samsung created the guide and I can figure out what the problem was. So I realized that I had several challenges and problems in my life. I had to turn around and check the guide, the manual, yes, right, from the person that created me. And I literally went back to scripture and I began to read and I began to, you know, this word comes in again, belief. I began to believe what the Bible said about me. And the Bible told me that I was a king's kid. The Bible told me that I was royalty. The Bible told me that I was more than a conqueror. The Bible said that I was a head and not the tail, that I was above and not beneath. And then I began to write down affirmations. And affirmations and declarations are something that are huge in our household because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right?
Yes.
And I'll break that down for somebody that's hearing that for the very first time. As a man or woman thinks, right? So that means thoughts in our hearts, right? Where heart, what's the heart? The heart is where our feelings reside. So basically what that is saying is that as a person thinks, whatever we are thinking about and whatever we're feeling is ultimately what we become. And I decided to totally rewrite what I thought about myself, how I felt about myself. And I began to put that in alignment with what my creator said about me. And to date, Robert, I think I've written over 600-700 affirmations. And I pull that book out from time to time and I read those to myself and I read those to my sons, you know, and I share that with our daughter, who's now in her 20s, you know, on the move all of the time. But
yeah,
you literally have to rewire your brain to believe what God said about you. Again, we're all here for a purpose.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what I did. That's what was able to pull me out. So, you know, one of the things that I ask folks, you know, what do you believe to be true for you? And if there is some things in there that need some work, we have the ability to change our course at any given time, Robert. It's never about how we start. Right. I tell my son that all the time. It's never about how life starts. It's all about how it ends up.
You know, Reggie, you know, and I'm a big fan of affirmations, prayer, of course. But, you know, for some people, it just doesn't resonate. They think we are the far out people who, you know, when you're talking about thinking and believing, it's always amazing to me because there really is no secret. About here's the formula. It's about discipline and consistency to execute on those things. And so with you planning affirmations, how many years were you doing that? You mentioned over 600. I mean,
Yeah. I've been writing them for, I remember I first started writing them around 2012 and then it exploded around 2014. And 2014 was the year that my wife, then girlfriend at the time, actually introduced me to network marketing and personal development. And when I was introduced to personal development, I mean, my mind was blown.
Yeah.
Like it was a whole brand new world. Cause mind you, Robert, you know, for many folks that don't know me, I grew up in Baltimore City. I'm a Northeast inner city Baltimore guy raised in a single parent household. And, you know, there was no personal development. You know, there was no talk of personal development. But when I realized that there was a whole world created out there where you could read books and listen to audios and literally pump yourself up and, you know, and make yourself the best version of yourself, I was all in.
And you've never stopped.
And I won't ever.
Well, you know, you mentioned about, you know, when you were going through some of those tough times, was there a time? And of course, you mentioned that you found the formula and you found out what you needed to do. But Reggie, was there one moment that was the lowest and you thought, maybe I'll give up. You know, I'll take another direction, but you know what? I'll just settle. I'll be that kid from Northeast Baltimore. I'll get a 9-to-5. And don't get me wrong, there's not, I use 9-to-5 in the sense that it becomes normal. It's routine for you. Did you ever come to that point?
There were plenty of times in my life where I thought that. I specifically remember there was a situation that I had with a prior supervisor when I was working in government. And I just felt like she was just hating on me. She just wouldn't let me be great. And I just felt pinched. And, you know, I was really unhappy with my life at that time. So I'll take that coupled with the time when the engagement, you know, the bottom fell out completely unbeknownst to me out of nowhere. Yeah. Those two times, they really backed me into a corner. But I don't have the type of mindset where I'll stay there forever. You know, I use those moments, you know, and I tell folks, hey, if you need to grieve, grieve. It's nothing wrong with grieving, but you have to move on from grieving. Yes. Grieving can't be a way of life forever. And I understand seasons and life. Yes. Right? Life has seasons. And in those seasons, you know, I allowed myself to work through those emotions. But then on the back end of a season, another season comes. So what I believe is that, you know, when you're down, the pendulum swings the other way.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And it's time to get back up. And the difference between me and probably a lot of other people is that I have an intense support system. I'm not going to lie. I have a wife that will always push me. I have parents that check in. I have associates, friends, family members, they speak into me. They believe in me. My pastors, I'll never be able to stay stagnant because of the accountability that I have from so many different people.
Well, you know, and I always go back to an African proverb. It says, pray and move your feet.
I love
and
it.
So, you know, it's about action. You know, you lift your prayer up, but then it's time to get to work. And like you said, there are seasons where you have to, you work through it, you know, and that's part of the calculation that, okay, you need X amount of days, weeks or whatever to work through this period.
Yep.
But hey, look, just remember, this is just a season and you've got to go through this other part. You know, what I'm really happy to hear is that now earlier you mentioned, I want to say maybe about 2, 3, 4 occasions, Reggie, where you mentioned the non-refundable deposit. And so what I'm hearing is that you got that money back in so many ways that while that was a bad situation, it seems like that paid itself over many times.
Oh, at the time, that non-refundable was heavy on my pockets. But when I look at the grand scheme of life, and I celebrate that right now. It wasn't a celebration when I was going through it, but I'll be honest, Robert, that relationship prepared me for my wife. I will not lie. Had I met my wife and I had not been humbled through that situation, I don't think that I would have been the man that was prepared to receive my wife when we met. So, you know, even in pain and, you know, and torture and failure, there was a lesson to learn in that. And that relationship, it grew me up and made me realize, you know, hey, I had some growing up to do, some learning to do, some developing to do. You know, I was humbled. I was humiliated and I survived all of that, you know, and I thank God I wouldn't change it. You know, I wouldn't change it. I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, and I think if we look back really at our lives, it's all about lessons and lessons learned. And, you know, when you think about it in that context, it's like, okay, I did come out of this okay. You know, maybe a little bruise here and there, but the beauty of it is there's always a lesson if we search, you know, a little deep enough. Now, given all of that, Reggie, now we talked about, you know, living your dream and where you are now, but do you feel like you're operating in your purpose now? And if so, how do you know?
Yeah. Man, you asking some good ones today, Robin. Man, I do. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. So God began to impress upon me somewhere around 2009 that I would be doing work for men, work with men. Right. And I didn't know what that looked like. But now here it is. Fast forward all these years later, we're in 2022. I have an amazing organization. It's a virtual community that I created. It's called Serve for Men. And the group has close to 50 guys in it, you know, all across the nation. And what it is, it's a network. It's an organization of men and fathers and husbands. And we literally just come together, you know, as iron sharpens iron. Yeah. And, you know, I get to put up motivational messages in there. You know, I share resources to help us become better men, better fathers, better husbands. We have some real talk. We go live in the community, you know, and we get to bounce ideas off of one another as collaboration. The guys are starting to form their own friendships and relationships. And I just love it because God told me a number of years ago, Robert, that I would be a leader of leaders and that I would be a leader of men.
Yeah.
And when he shared that with me the very first time, you know, I was like, nah, God, that's not me. You know, you must clearly have that for someone else.
Right.
But what he's shown me, it's crazy because I remember he started to tell me that in 2009. And I remember in 2019, my wife and I were actually after dinner, we were just having some small talk, and it was a decade later. And I realized in that moment that, you know, as the leader of the men's ministry, I was leading men and I was leading leaders because my wife and I were in business at that time. You know, we were leading in business and I was leading men. So I said, God, you are so amazing because what you want, you ultimately get. You know, and when he begins to speak to you, it will happen, you know, and I tell my sons all the time, especially my oldest boy right now. I was like, don't fight God. You can't win that battle. That's not a battle that you can win, you know. So if he begins to speak to you and whisper into your ear and things of that nature, those things are going to happen, you know. Allow them to take their course.
You talk so much about your family, which I think is wonderful. Are your wife and children seeing you operate at your full potential?
Yeah.
And how important is it that they see you doing that, Reggie?
It's critically important, you know, so much so that I made a major life move last month. It's been something that has been on my heart since 2014. I was finally in a position to do it. My wife, we've been discussing it for quite some time. We've told our boys about it. And now on the other side of that, the big decision that we did, I mean, my wife was just telling me, she was like, the whole temperature of the household has changed. You're happier. You're more present, right? You're more productive. Yeah. And, you know, and I wrote this book, Serve Yourself to Greatness, a number of years ago. And here I was thinking that I was writing it, you know, for other men. And God was basically telling me, he was like, no, son, this book was for you. You were called to serve yourself to greatness first so that you can be an inspiration to your sons and daughter. And then after that, you can turn around and be an inspiration to those outside of your house. So I'm loving where I am in life. I know that God has a lot more to do, but I'm excited about this particular moment in time. I mean, even in the pandemic, Robert, I'll be honest with you, my wife and I, these are some of the best years that we've experienced. In marriage, in business, in ministry, even in the pandemic.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you mentioned about how there's this new energy in the house, you know, with the family realizing that, hey, you know, dad's taking it up a notch. What are you seeing in them that is giving you an indication that, oh, they get it? And now looking at that now, are you saying to yourself, what in the heck? How did I look, feel, and walk around this house prior to this big decision?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, I definitely got all of the feedback as to how I was before my big decision. You know, it wasn't good to hear, you know, but okay. I love feedback, right? Because we need feedback. But our sons are asking questions. You know, I love how inquisitive they are, because what we're doing, whether they know it or not, is that we're directly giving them permission to go for their dreams. Yeah. You know, I love the background. You know, I have the privilege of being able to see you right now, but those that are listening don't. You know, your background says living the dream.
Yes.
You know, and as I live out my dreams, I told my boys, I was like, what we're doing is that we're giving you permission to, if there's something that you want to do, go for it. Yeah. Right? Take the leap. But you don't just blindly take a leap. Like, there is some preparation in there, you know. So there was some seasons of preparation, you know, where I got ready. I positioned myself, right? Because that's wisdom. Folly is to just quit something and just go, you know, just off of feeling, right? That's foolishness. Right. there was some preparation in there. And then when the time was right, you know, the jump was made. And, you know, our sons, they're loving it. You know, they love the happier dad that they have. My wife loves the happier husband. You know, but they say happy wife, happy life. The house is happy now.
Oh, that is wonderful. And I think as parents, we need to do more. Our children look up to us. And, you know, it's one thing that we tell our kids, all right, yeah, go for your dreams. You know, I'm supporting you and I'm right behind you. But, you know, Reggie, I think we do them a disservice when we don't follow our dreams and reach our own potential. Because when you think about it, we affect generations. So imagine Reggie going for his dreams and, you know, doing it and doing it well. And it creates this kind of this wave through your children because they saw you do it. And so imagine if you didn't, how these other generations will be impacted because dad was right there at the precipice, but he didn't go over.
And so I
think we owe it to our children to also realize our dreams and full potential. Because for our kids, it's nothing like, look, show me. Okay, I understand you're telling me.
And
they will show up. I remember when I, you know, had been working on this book, you know, my daughters would write notes. How are things going with the book? You know, daddy, you can do this. We're behind you. And when you allow them into that process, now they feel fully engaged and it gives them an experience to say, oh, yeah, I remember my dad went through this or my mom. And I just think it's so important. And I'm just so happy for what you've got laid out for the future. And just I'm just glad that you set the example for your children.
I appreciate those words. It's so interesting that you say that, you know, because I have written over here, you know, I read certain things out loud to myself every day. And one of the things that I remind myself of is that, you know, I'm sitting on the destinies of other people.
Yes.
And we always need to be mindful that life is so much bigger than us. You know, the Bible says that, you know, two things can happen, you know, especially for us as men. You know, if you decide that, you know, through indecision that you want to live the life of mediocrity, right? Then generational curses pass through to you. And what happens is, you know, the children, it says in the Bible that the sins of the father go down 3-4 generations, right? So that means if I don't do what I need to do, that impacts my children and their children and their children and their children. But then on the flip side, if I do decide that I'm going to go for it, the Bible says that blessings drive down 1,000 generations.
Yes.
So what I'm always mindful of is that I want to drive down in the Gantt family 1,000 generations of folks that will go for it. You will believe in yourself. You will serve yourself to greatness. You will not let circumstances stop you. You will tap into your spiritual foundation and you will know, you know, why you were here. And that drives me every day.
You know, and we touched on it a little bit earlier in the conversation. Through all of this, can you hit home again? What have you learned about yourself through this journey of life to where you are now? What if you had to sum it up and say, what did I really learn about myself? What would that be?
Trust the process. Yeah. Trust the process. Everybody wants Rome to be built overnight, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like a fine wine, you know, with time is the greatest thing ever. You know, we live in a microwave society and you and I know as kingdom believers, right? There's nothing that's microwavable that's really good for you.
No.
Right. So trust the process. Everything, you know, and if I could sum it up with a scripture, I would say Romans 8:28. All things work together, you know, right. And that means the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And I speak that into somebody's spirit right now. It doesn't matter, you know, where you started. It doesn't matter if the marriage didn't work out. It doesn't matter if you didn't graduate from high school. You know, none of those things matter. What matters now is what are you doing with the allotted time given to you today? How are you adding value? I have an acronym, Robert. Serve. Seek excellence, respect, value every day. How are you adding value to those around you every day? How are you making this world a better place every day?
Well, you know, and our days are numbered. And, you know, it's so easy to fall into the trap of, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. And just to know that, you know, tomorrow's not promised. You know, and I'll share this quick story with you. I remember one day I was having, this was many, many years ago, but Reggie, I was having one horrible day. I was working in banking at the time, and I don't even know what it was. Maybe it was, you know, I didn't want to be at the job or whatever, but the day was so bad. On my lunch break, I went out for a drive, and I pulled into this cemetery because I said, you know what? I'm just going to walk because I know nobody will talk to me. I just need some quiet time. And Reggie, as I walked through, once I passed through the gate, and you probably know this particular cemetery, but mm-hmm. as I walked through that large black gate, to my left, there was a tombstone of a little girl who lived one day. One day. And I looked down at that, Reggie, and I said, I read that tombstone and I said, you need to get yourself back in that car. Get yourself together, because here's somebody that lived for a day. And their parents, of course, you know, put a headstone there. And I said, nah, you just need to work it out. You need to go back and do what you need to do. But I've always remembered that lesson that, you know what? My days are numbered. This little girl had one day.
She had one.
And look how many days I've had and what am I doing with it? So when you were talking about, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to realize our full potential.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, let me ask you this, and I think you touched on this a little bit as well, but if we had the opportunity to go back, I'd like to know, Reggie, what would you tell the 25-year-old Reginald Gann? If you had the opportunity to whisper in his ear and give him some advice, what would you say to him?
Man, I would tell him to stay the course. You know, there were many times in my life where I started a thing and I didn't finish. I got excited about something, you know, and then the excitement went away. But now, looking back over my life, being full of more wisdom now than I was back then, I would say stay the course. Yeah. Stay the course and know that, you know, there are good things ahead for those that remain consistent. Right? Mm-hmm. I definitely would speak a word of consistency, you know, and dedication, you know, and to the younger Reggie, you know, because consistency is key. Doing a little bit every day over a long period of time surmounts to a lot of accomplishment, you know, Rob.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, Reggie, you know, this has been such a pleasure to talk with you. You have enriched my spirit today and deposited many nuggets that I'm going to meditate on today. And I'm quite sure our listeners have surely benefited from hearing your stories and your energy and inspiration. So, Reggie, how can folks follow up with you? I'm going to have some of your information on the podcast website, but tell us how folks can follow you.
Absolutely. It's very easy. So if you're a man or a father or a husband out there and you're definitely listening to this, I definitely want you to visit the website. It's Serve for Men, and it's the number four. So it's serve4men.com. But for anybody that wants to connect on social media, you can find me heavily on Facebook and LinkedIn. And it's just my name is Reginald. Last name is Gant, G-A-N-T, no R. So it's Grant without the R. Reginald Gant on Facebook, on LinkedIn, or the website serve4men.com.
Reggie, thank you so much. And again, thanks for the great conversation. And I look forward to catching up with you soon. So we'll be in touch.
It's been my honor, Robert. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Intentionally Overheard. If you like the show, please be sure to subscribe, leave a comment, and share this podcast with a friend. Until we meet again, put your mind, heart, soul, and your best foot forward and dream it, believe it, do it, be it. Dibby Dibby. If you're interested in Dibby Dibby t-shirts, you can order yours, which includes free shipping, at www.dreamitbelieveitdoitbeit.com. That's dreamitbelieveitdoitbeit.com.